Good morning, folks, and welcome to each one this morning, this beautiful Lord's Day morning. We're so glad to see you, as always. It's so good. It's so encouraging to see you people who seek the Lord in your life, and it's so good to see you as you're looking so good, and we know the Lord has blessed you, and the Lord has been good to you this week, and we're so thankful that we have a God like that. So as we come this morning to worship together, I want to share with you from Psalms 32. It reads like this. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no gall. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgettest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in thy time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of the great waters thou shalt not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me for trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with some of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way which thou goest, shall go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Praise ye the Lord. Let's praise him together this morning.
For hymn of worship this morning, we're going to use number 542, first, fourth verse, and I'll have it. That's all I'm saying.
52.
Together in your house on the Lord's day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word. Now go with us to the further exercises of service. Be with Brittany as he brings your morning message. Give us where we fail thee. Words we ask in thy name. Amen. For communion again, we're going to use number 548. First and fourth.
Oh, gather around thy table, we're thankful for many blessings bestowed upon us. We're especially thankful for these invalids that thy son Jesus Christ set forth for us in remembrance of him. We pray that you be with us this morning. We ask us to bless each and every one here today because we're in the Lord's house. Be it fitting.
Kathleen is all patriotic this morning with all of her songs and so forth. This being the week of 4th of July, our independence and so forth. And we normally have at this Sunday have a message from that. We won't be doing that today. And possibly we'll talk about the aftermath next week of it. But Independence Day is a perfect time to lift our nation in prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, as you know very well, teaches us, you know, that if this nation will come to the Lord and repent of our sins and seek him and so forth and pray, he has promised to heal our land and help us. So it's a wonderful good time. The 4th of July is a wonderful time to pray for our nation, to pray for God's leaders and so forth. And we certainly need some healing for this land, that's for sure. We are so thankful that we have seen some healing of the land, but there's great need yet to seek God for more. And so, very difficult times that we are faced here in America with. And there's hurt, there's confusion, there's division. And Independence Day is a time to really pray earnestly for unity for the people of this nation, that God would change things for us, bring things better for us and so forth. And we're so thankful for things as they are, as good as they are and so forth. And Psalms 33:12 reads, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And certainly that is true and we should be. And I would hope that this nation would look to God and would always be a godly nation and so forth. So let's keep that in mind as we go through this week, and Wednesday being the 4th of July, that's going to be celebrated all across the nation, and we just hope that and pray that God will be honored throughout it. A few other things. This Friday night will be our food fun and fellowship night, and so we encourage you to be here. And we have in times used 6:30 as our starting time, and we used to eat at 7:00, so we're going to kind of crowd that up a little bit. And so if you're here at 6:30, if everybody's here pretty well at 6:30, we're going to kind of eat just a little bit earlier. And so that'll give the guys a little more time out there to try to beat Omer and I out of our trophy. Omer and I has got to get it back. They took it away from us. I thought we was going to go 2 for 3, but boy, they beat us once and they took that thing and they got it staked out back there. And so we need to get that back up here to the front of the place. So give us a little more time to do that. So we look forward to that. And then we got a birthday coming up that day, and we might do something special here. 2 Keith, not 4 Keith, 2 Keith that day. Yeah, we don't know what, but yeah, all right. That's good. And good things are happening. God is so good, and God is still blessing his people, and God will always bless his people like you. People who seek the Lord, certainly God's going to continue to bless. And I just would that more people would understand like you do and would seek the Lord as you do and be blessed as you are. Great, great to have a God like that. And so as we then look to our prayer time this morning, we have several things we want to share with you. We have on our prayer list still a great number of names. I was going to ask you, is John Shirley, is he incapacitated, or is he still able to work? Is he working?
Well, not really. He had some brain surgery.
Okay. I know you told me about him having a cancer and so forth, and I didn't know whether he was still, you know, some people has cancer and are able to go and work and so forth and such and so forth. But, okay. And let's see who's, and Jerry says his brother's doing right well.
Jerry
And so we're thankful for that, to hear that. And let's see, who else is probably? And Vi McMain, as you know, bless her heart, and keep her in your prayers. And the passing of Dell last week, and laying aside. But hopefully now, I understand that Vi's kind of getting rested up somewhat, and hopefully that she'll be eating a little better than she has been, and be strengthened up and be back with us, hopefully, even next week, hopefully, that she'll be able to come and be with you good people here at Porter and so forth. And so, and then we have also some Doodle's friend, one of his past co-workers that he worked with so long ago, has been operated for tumors in his brain. And his wife found him, I think, last week in the garden and had to help him out. And so he's going to set up for another tumor operation in his brain. So keep him in your prayers, and that things will work out for him. He's just not able to bounce and so forth and what he's doing there. And there is a person, and I won't call names because I'm not sure that the person wants to know, but there's another lady that's on my mind this morning that is very much in need of God's comfort, and is hopefully things will change, but possibly this lady is near death. And so keep that person. God knows who that person is, and the person here knows who that person is. So we can pray that way, that things will work out good for them. And then also we have a report this morning that Teddy Williams, who is Samantha Williams, is a niece of Tina, and he died in a motorcycle accident. And so a great family and a lot of things taking place there last night, late yesterday or last night. And so there's a family that, boy, is torn this day. And so pray that things will work out and cover. God will comfort them and minister them in a good way. And God is so good, and God can help, and God puts things together, and God brings things together. And we pray that he will do that for that family there. And we've seen him work like that before. And it's so comforting, isn't it, to know that we have God that can work those things out for us and to help. And it's sad when we lose loved ones. And it makes it a little more difficult, if that's the word to use for it, when someone suddenly is taken by death, by an accident or something, and least expected and so forth. And that makes it, you know, when someone has longed in illness for a long period of time, then it's kind of, if it's fair to say, expected, you know. But when life is going and everybody's doing pretty good and all at once, one of them in the midst of them has an accident and loses their life, it's really a hard thing for a family, I'm sure. And so all these things are certainly important to the families of these people that's on our prayer list, and everyone's need. It doesn't make a difference how large or how small the need is. It's that person's need. And so their need is just as important as any other need. And God knows that, and God understands that, you know. Sometimes, you know, people says, well, we got to deal with these big issues first and then we'll deal with the little ones. No, God doesn't do that, does he? He deals with all the issues all the time. And that's so wonderful that he does that. And so we're thankful, and we pray that he will, with all the folks we've mentioned this morning, all the people on our prayer list, that he will, and we know that he will kindly deal with them in a good and fair way. The nation, our leaders, and of course this week, I mean, there'll be people traveling all over the country. There'll be activities, there'll be parades, there'll be family gatherings this week, and there'll just be a lot of things going on. And we just pray that all those things will work good, that people will be blessed, that we won't have difficulties and troubles from it, and that we'll be great. And it will be a step forward for this nation as they come to celebrate the 4th of July and the meaning of it, that it will be something good for our nation and good for the people. And so for the service people, pray for them because they're a great part of what takes place there. And for the leaders of our nation, and for each other, and for this church, for this community, and keep them in your prayers. Prayer works wonders, and God is interested in what we're concerned about, and there's not a person that we have mentioned, there's not a person here that God is not interested in our well-being, and so we thank him for that as we come to our prayer time then this morning.
For prayer hymn, you to hymn number 100, sing the first and third verse, then you will have a prayer. So stand.
Join our hearts and our spirits together and go to God in prayer. And dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to have a God like you who is in tune to your family this morning. Your family here at Porter, Heavenly Father, we know that your word tells us if we call upon you, you will hear, that you will answer our prayers. And so, Heavenly Father, we have great faith in the fact that you're listening to the concerns of a people this morning, as we've mentioned already, each and every one that we have talked about. You know, Heavenly Father, their needs, and you know what is best in their lives. And we know, Heavenly Father, from the way you've dealt with us in the past, that you work these things out for good for the people. And we're so thankful for that, dear God. And so it is, we come this morning and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless each and every one that we've mentioned. You'd bless this church family. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are have loved ones that are near death. We pray, Heavenly Father, for comfort. We pray, Heavenly Father, things will go well there, that the people will come to understanding that you, dear God, are dealing with them, that you know what is best in our lives. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones, even the one that has had the tragic accident, Heavenly Father, and suddenly taken from the midst of their loved ones. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your comfort. We pray that you would work for them, dear God. And as we use the term so many times, to work all things together for good to them, Heavenly Father, we just pray, dear God, that you will bless them in a good way. Each and every person on our prayer list, Heavenly Father, we're mindful of, and we know of different needs in their lives. We pray for the one, Heavenly Father, that has the tumor operations, Heavenly Father. We pray that that will be successful, that it'll be done, and be rid of that, and he'll then go on and live a productive life, Heavenly Father. You're so good to us. We've seen these things in the past take place. We pray for Vi, dear God, that now that she's alone at her home, and we pray, Heavenly Father, for strength for her. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll grant to her and help her to rest, help her to nourish up, Heavenly Father, and be strong to do the things that she needs to do and to be about with the people she loved to be about with. We're thankful for the good people of this Porter Church who supported her through the passing of her loved one, Dale, and our good friend who was a good man and who supported our church well. And Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for people like that. So bless her, we pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, for this coming week, as now has already started this weekend. People are going and coming and planning, and going to be together and do different things, Heavenly Father. We just pray for safety. We pray, Heavenly Father, for things to be good. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Satan will be put down and no terroristic things will take place. That, Heavenly Father, we can have a good time throughout this nation. People can enjoy. People will be thankful. People will thank you and bless you, Heavenly Father, for the good things of this nation in which we live in. So help, Heavenly Father, all things this week be done. Help it to be done in your honor. Help it to be done for the good of mankind, we pray. And so, Father God, we come to you and we ask for forgiveness. We sin, Heavenly Father, and probably this morning we've sinned in some way or another. And we'll probably sin in some way or another before the day's over. But we're so thankful that you're a compassionate God and you realize that and you cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Oh God, thank you for that. So now once again, we ask your blessing upon this church family, that you'll bless them and use them, that you'll bless them in their daily lives, the things and activities they do, that Heavenly Father, it'll be just a joy to live in this life as we prepare for the life to come ahead of this. Thank you for Jesus, who provides all things good for his people, in whose name we thank you and praise you. Say amen.
Here's an invitation to the number 347, and this time the choir will.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you so very much. We say it often, but we do really appreciate week after week that you bless us in such a wonderful way. This morning we're back to Daniel, and this will be the last from chapter 6, last message we'll bring. And we're talking about Daniel after he got out of the lion's den, and the decree that the king made. I wonder, you know, if you were asked about your God, what would you say? What would you say about your God? And I I wonder, you know, when I read about this and the king making a decree, Nebuchadnezzar did also, and we read about the kings doing that. Wouldn't it be good if you know, I say, wouldn't it be good? I'm not too sure whether it would or not. If our leaders of the nation could make a decree that we could, you know, honor God, I wish that they could just exemplify their lives in a way that people would honor God. But, you know, I was looking and researching some things and to find if there had ever been a decree that went out that people should honor God. And I found this one. In 1776, the Delaware Constitution. And listen to what it says. And this is sent out by Delaware. And it says, everyone appointed to public office must say, I do profess faith in God, the Father, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. One God and blessed forever, and I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. That was 1776. Delaware says that all of their public officials, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great that we should, but you know, it doesn't have to be a decree, does it? I mean, God's people just do that. If God's people would just do that, would just honor God and claim God to be the God He is and like He is, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be an influence? So in chapter 6, verse 26, he says, I make a decree that in every nation of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. If someone would ask you about your God, would you tell them? He is the living God. His kingdom lasts forever. Some of the things, I mean, here Darius made a statement, very strong, true statement about God. But as we look in here, he made this decree, and if this decree is as the decree that he made about not praying, it would be a Med-Persian decree that couldn't be broken. That'd be good. That would be good. The God miraculously delivered Daniel from the den of lions. He miraculously delivered his three friends from the fiery furnace. And when he did deliver Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar made a decree then. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar says. And he says, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He says in that decree, if anybody says anything against, now I don't like to fool with the politicians things, and I'm not picking sides of politicians or anything, but I thought this was a real poor statement. If you notice the lady, what is Walters, I believe it, or Walters, is that her name? That's in a high position. If you've seen that speech that she made the other day, and she said, if there's any Trump followers and you people around, crowd them. That's a terrible thing. If that was under Nebuchadnezzar, he would say they would be cut to pieces. Anybody who would belittle this God of Daniel. So that was a strong decree that went out. Those kings knew that if people feared God, see, Nebuchadnezzar, ungodly king to begin with, Belshazzar, and Darius, this thing they knew about God of Daniel. They knew that if people feared this God of Daniel, and if they did according to the decree, peace shall be upon them. I believe that's true with our nation. If God's people would be steadfast in His word and in His ways, if we would take to heart the things of God, as we see in these passages here, people certainly would look to, we would have peace. You know, we have enough people that claim to love God, who if they stand fast for God, would change this nation. Now, I'm not too sure it wouldn't change this world. But God's people just are not as steadfast as they ought to be. I'm glad you're steadfast here at Porter. Those kings knew that if the people lived to fear God and according to the degree of peace, that their people would then have peace. I believe when it talks about the end here, that does not mean something in the future. That means the end of that of the kingdoms that's going to be. I believe it means the starting of the Messiah when he talks about here that which shall not be destroyed and his dominion shall be even unto the end. So that's going to take place in those even pagan people. If they will look to God, they will experience God's blessings there. And they will have peace. And so until the kingdom's gone. And the kingdoms did disappear when Jesus came. He is the king now of God's kingdom. He is the one that rules now. Darius made this decree. And it said, and he's speaking to all that's under him. Now, I don't know, and I tried to research to find out how many, where this 120 came into. Were there 120 different areas? Maybe there was. Well, they had to be because he appointed 120 people to give account. And so this could, whatever it was, it broke this dominion down into it. So however you figure, it is a great area, a great kingdom that he's speaking of here, that he has these people over here, the providence, the empire kingdom, the entire kingdom of the empire was made up of several kingdoms and such. Of course, we know the Babylonians, we know the Assyrians was first ones that took over Jerusalem. Babylonians come in and took them over then. And then we have the Persians and the Meds and so forth. And then we had the Romans later. And so, great kingdom. And so he had this great vast here over all the men to account for them. And I am not sure. Well, I'm pretty positive that he didn't. That Darius didn't have at heart what he wanted the people to have at heart about Daniel's God. Far different from Nebuchadnezzar. You see, when Nebuchadnezzar came to himself, he repented, and he turned to God. He showed remorse, and he repented, and he acknowledged God as the only true and living God, the only true and living God. Darius says here, I'll make a decree in every nation, kingdom, and kingdom before God, before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, the steadfast, and ever the kingdom and so forth. He doesn't say, I acknowledge him as the only living God. I believe Darius was saying, I believe God to be superior to the other gods. He's just one of the other gods who is superior to the other gods. I cannot find where Darius really acknowledged him as the one and only true and living God. But Nebuchadnezzar did. And the words here make me believe that he only recognized God as a superior God. And you know there's people that do that today. They say God is just only one of many But I stand before you and say, God is the only true and living God, the creator of all that you see and all you are and all that's being, the one and only true living God. There are false, fictitious gods. They don't have any power to help anybody in any way. You got a problem? Pray to Buddha. See what happens tomorrow. You got a problem? Pray to Jehovah God tonight and see what happens tomorrow. And you'll find out very quickly who is the true and living God. Fictitious gods all over the place people have. But the God whom he made, the degree of this God of Daniel, is the living God and steadfast forever, his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Don't you like that? His, you know, when we read about all the kingdoms that were, and they were all destroyed, and but this kingdom shall never be destroyed, and it will never be given, taken over by anybody else other than God himself. He has an everlasting God, an everlasting kingdom. I want to be a part of that kingdom, don't you? That's going to last forever. The Babylonian kingdom, it fell. The Median Persian kingdom, it fell. The Assyrian kingdom, it fell. But the kingdom of the living God will never fail. And that's where we are. And that's where we want to be. And that's where we want to stay. And that's who we want to honor this day. I see from this passage and all we've been talking about Daniel, and I see that the kings even recognizes this, that God honors those who honor him. God protects those who honor him. Those who honor God and stand steadfast in his ways, when you steadfast and honor God, you will testify to the works of God to the ungodly. And that's what Daniel and his friends did. Daniel and his four friends and his friends stood firm, and Nebuchadnezzar saw the fruit of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood steadfast, and Nebuchadnezzar gave glory to God. Listen, when you are steadfast in the word and will of God and the ways of God, people around you that even don't believe in God will recognize God is. Daniel boldly told Nebuchadnezzar the truth, and the king humbled himself and gave glory to God. Daniel stood firm and boldly and told Belshazzar the truth, and the king honored him, even though it was just before his death. He honored him. The point is plain. When we as God's people, when Christians stand, when we stand firm in godly convictions and honor God, even though that it costs us something, others will see the testimony and be impressed by it. You know, how many times has somebody asked you or said something about you in a way, you know, that you're doing so good, you look so good, and so forth, and your testimony is what? The blessings of God. And when they recognize that, they kind of honor that. When they see where, just like the kings, when they saw God blessing Shadrach, Meshach, and Daniel, they honored God in some way or another. Not only did they honor, they gave place to those who honored God. And that can happen and will happen today. I think the plain point is, when you stand firm in godly convictions and honor God, when it costs you something, that you'll be greatly impressed with what God does for you. He says the God of Daniel here, he says. Get your hand out of your pocket, Benny. Robert's always telling me, Benny, don't put your hand in your pocket. Thank you, Robert. I look back here and see. And so he says that the God of Daniel, in a small way, this helps us then to see or to diagnosed the virus. And that goes back to the fact that he now, just like I said, he is not convinced or convicted in the heart about the living God. Because he said the God of Daniel, he's speaking about, is the living God. You know, he says that several times. The God of Daniel, the God of Daniel. Saving faith says the God of Darius. You hear people, and we have here, I have you, some of our men have, you've heard us say, we talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know. But we realize Jehovah God is not only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he is our God. See, Nebuchadnezzar said that in so many words. He repented, confessed his wrongdoings, and acknowledged God. But Darius always says Daniel's God. He never made Daniel's God his God. And your God has to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our God. Until we make Jehovah God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob our God, our salvation is in danger. Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Now, some people says that Darius and Cyrus are the same person. I don't believe that. I believe that Darius was the Med and Cyrus was the Persian. And Darius was a under-shepherd king under Cyrus the Persian. That's a different story, but that's the way. You know, so I don't believe they are the same person because Cyrus's father's name wasn't, and however you pronounce his name, that wasn't his father. The father of Darius wasn't the father of Cyrus. And so that tells us very plain. So, but the point is this. Daniel was steadfast in all ways of God, and he always prospered. You know, he was always put in a position that he not only prospered, but he helped people. His interest was not self. Daniel was not selfish. Daniel, when he was put in a position of seeing after the king's business, he was kind of like Joseph. Joseph was put in a position of watching after his master's house and all the things. Daniel's concern was for the king and the kingdom and the king's kingdom to work for the people, and especially God's people. That was Daniel. That was Daniel. But he did prosper and he was put in position, and God saw to that. And in his position and in his prospering, he helped many people. We know that reading between the lines. He kept the thing working. And you know, when someone is in leadership and making things work in God's way and for God's purpose, those people are going to progress. And that's true today, isn't it? If God's people will work together to do God's will, God's people are going to progress. That just happens. You can't get around it. But I say again, I don't believe that Darius attached the ideas of the phrase that Daniel did to the living God. I just don't believe he did. Here's the reason I say, if Darius had worshiped God properly, what's the number one thing he would have done? He would have wiped out superstitious. He would have downed all the other gods. But he didn't do that. He doesn't say he did that, did he? But if he had, he would have. We have seen where prophets come along and they spoke God's word and the people raised up and they tore down the prophets of Baal. See, Deraris could have done it. If Deraris had in his heart and mind the things that Daniel had about the living God, he would have destroyed all that. And I say to you in a kind way this morning, if God's people had at heart the will and purpose of God, they'd destroy Baal today. Yeah, think about that. These things said about God, he's a living God, he's steadfast forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, are well said and true, and certainly expressed far beyond any pagan god. A pagan god is no god at all. I still don't believe Deraris grasped that. Steadfast forever has a meaning of always the same. We read in the scripture that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. But you read about the kings, boy, they change. And you read about their gods, and when they talk about their gods, you see they change. Or they change what they think about their gods. Or they change what they think their gods are doing. And they're changeable, but our God isn't. Our God has a purpose with his people, and it's going straight forward. And if you don't want to be, if you don't follow it, you're not there. That's up to you. But if we'll do his will, his way, things will go great. Steadfastness forever means for always. And just open the Bible to the first page. It says, in the beginning was God. He's always been there. He's always there, and he always will be there. It said, no end. No end. He has power over all. His kingdom's unshakable. It's got a solid foundation. Unshakable, the scripture says. God's kingdom will never be destroyed, and it will never be overthrown. There's not a kingdom in this world, in this world, that anybody rules over that can't be overtaken. Any country can be overtaken, but God's kingdom will never be overthrown to another dictator, ruler of any kind. His kingdom is sure, everlasting, forever, from generation to generation, the Bible teaches us, and that's very true. Daniel 4:3, here are the great signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. From your kids to my kids to their kids to your kids and their kids on down until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. This kingdom of God will last. The New International Version, if you have it, says this. How great are his signs and mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. That's where I want to be, don't you? That's the kingdom I want to be a part of. Amen? Daniel 4:34. And the end of the days, this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. I like this. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lift up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. Listen, he come to his senses and realized what's going on and realized the God, the living God. And he said, I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian king, said that. The Bible says much about the Old Testament, about much in the Old Testament and the New Testament about the kingdom of God. You know, our critic says, well, God had a plan and he failed in the Old Testament. His kingdom didn't come to what it ought to be. And so they started the New Testament and then they started the church. But you know, I haven't got time. And time won't allow me, but someday I hope to. The kingdom of God in the Old Testament become the kingdom of God in the New Testament, become the church that Jesus built, become the kingdom that he is king of. And that comes through the Bible so plain. God's kingdom didn't fail, and he didn't have the second plan, and he didn't start another kingdom, and he didn't build a church to take over where he failed in the Old Testament time. It just runs right together, and you can see it so plainly. Isaiah speaks of it very plainly. Micah speaks of it very plainly and puts that together. It's a beautiful thing when you study that and look at it together. Hopefully we will be able to do that sometime. But here's what I want to leave you with this morning is this. And that is this. The fact that God has a kingdom that will never, ever, ever, never end. And his desire is that you be a part of that kingdom. His desire is that you be a part of that kingdom which never, ever will end. Will never end. I believe that that kingdom has become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of God, the kingdom of God, as the New Testament puts it in so many words. It's spoken of about four different ways, and we see it very plainly. But for right now, he wants you to be a Daniel. I challenged you a few weeks ago, dare to be a Daniel. But God has a kingdom, and he wants you to be a Daniel and stand fast in the word and ways of the Lord God, being example of the Lord Jesus Christ, making great effort to win the lost. That's God's purpose right now, is for this church to win the lost in this community. Are we doing that? Are you telling your neighbor about Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God that lasts forever and ever, that God wants you and him or her to be a part of, to know Jesus and the salvation he offers? That's the work of the kingdom. That's the work of the church today. Jesus wants you to share with those of the community that if they honor God and walk with him in all his ways, he'll protect them, he will prosper them, he will provide for them, he will prepare them for the day when the Lord will come and gather us to himself. Loyalty really changed things. And we can see in the book of Daniel the loyalty of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. It changed things. And I say to you this morning, your loyalty to the Jehovah God, to the true living God, to do his word and his will certainly impress those around you. And many will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And things will change like never changed before. It will change this nation if God's people would do that. But I don't know that even in this godless world that we live in the culture that we live in, that God really did plan for us in a way. God has done that. I mean, man has done that. If you stand fast in this world and the ways of God, he will protect you, he will provide you, and he will prepare you for that great and noble day when the Lord will come. Let us stand. Invitation hymn. If you haven't answered, if you're not a part of God's great kingdom, his church, you can come and through Jesus Christ be added to his church today and be prepared for that great and noble day the Lord comes. Verse only. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. And gladness am I. Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, I come to you. Thank you once again, folks, for being so faithful to the Lord and His church and being here and being a part of this worship service this morning. May God richly bless you. May you have a great and wonderful week this week. Might you have a safe week. And might you be reminded or be mindful of those who are less fortunate, and those who have lost loved ones, those who are in great needs of various things that we have mentioned. Being mindful of them. And certainly the 4th of July, take time and pause then and pray for this nation, that people will turn to God and we'll be the great nation that He'd have us to be. Won't you do that as we leave? And we want to remind you, as you stand fast, you can expect what God did for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our young man, Michael, over there, if he would ask God's blessing upon this great group of people this morning as we leave.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael.